Yo, 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 testing 1, 2, testing 1, 2, 1, 2. You know what it do? It's Curly Castro. Who? Curly Castro. On the podcast, I have no name. And I have no name. And I have all the style. You feel me? You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? I'm just bugging out until Afro and our special guest get here. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to do the intro song now, so I don't want to shock our guests. So I'm going to do it now. Yeah, 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 oh. Yeah, 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 oh. Yeah, 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 oh. Yeah, 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 oh. This is the podcast. Don't catch you slipping now. Don't catch you slipping now. Police be tripping now. This is a podcast. It has no name, name, name. It has no name, name, name. It ain't a damn shame. Look how I'm tripping now. Look how I'm slipping now. Cops always killing now. This is a podcast now. This is a podcast. This is a no name. Don't get the show shame. Don't make the show shame. This is a podcast. Watch how I'm slipping now. Guns with the clipping now. Shooting the children now. This is America. Oh, I messed up. I was supposed to say this is a podcast. Don't catch me slipping now. Don't get me tripping now. Yeah, 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 yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, 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 no, 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 and this is a podcast. It has no name. Don't you be tripping. You do the same.
Yo.
If you just missed it, I just did the whole intro song because I didn't want to scare Repo. So I just did it. But you missed it.
Good.
What do you mean good? It was an excellent rendition. Wait till you hear it. So I'm not going to tell you
I
what
believe
I
believe you.
Hello, sir.
Yeah.
Hello. How is everyone doing?
Yeah. That deep voice.
Greetings. Greetings, my brothers and sisters.
Oh, my goodness. He's doing the Umar Ben. What's up?
That's
right.
Right.
All right. If you ready? Yo, Reef, we have a good time. We always crack it up. And,
yeah, no, you know, I know. So, I know
how it goes. Yeah, and, yeah, I know you do a pod as well. So, and don't mind me and Af, we tend to, like, we clash.
Hate
so
each
that's
other,
a good thing.
But we love each other.
It's perfect
yeah,
that you're in the sandwich here. All right. Okay.
Oh, real
good
quick.
Evening.
Who is Tracy?
Tracy
is their new homeboy.
Oh.
That just got out of jail, yeah.
Right.
Sporting Waves. The amazing Waves.
Yeah.
The amazing Waves.
Which I was very impressed with.
When he
took that durag off at the end, that was impressive. I was like, oh, wow.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, they were 360s. Yeah, 360 spinners for sure.
I want to know the price. I want to know the price on that hairpiece. That wasn't cheap.
You don't really think that wasn't really his?
You think that was his? I think.
I don't know. I didn't examine it close enough. I might have to look again.
Ooh, let's
see.
I've never heard men talk about is that his hair. This is like really good talk right
well,
here.
Well, half you
like,
know they got the lace front. They got the lace front waves. They got lace front fades now.
No, I did not.
I have a lace front. I have a lace front beard. Like this joint ain't real. Like I've.
Shut up.
No, Ab, they really have that shit. Like, that shit, cats go in there bald to the buck and come out hair, head full of hair. Afro.
No, I mean, like, the dye, like, the like, they be drawn on your head and shit.
No, now they got lace
like
front.
Spray
this guy had the Sherman Hemsley.
Airbrush.
And he got a whole head of hair.
Sherman Hemsley.
You know, they can turn the Sherman Hemsley into a flat top, Ab. It's incredible.
I mean, I knew there were, like, toupee sort of situations for black folks, but I didn't know that black men had the option of, like, lace front waves. This is completely new.
Yeah, lace front waves, and then the spray-in joint, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
but you'll sweat that out,
I feel like that's a Philly thing. I have not seen that anywhere other than Philly.
Yeah,
well,
it's a shame that that's something we're associated with.
Yeah, they use it to line up, though, pretty, you know, sometimes.
Also, how long does that last?
Would,
Is that like a day thing or?
Oh, it's got to be a day. Yeah, day tops. Especially if it's hot out, you're going to sweat it out.
Yeah, you can't go dancing because that's embarrassing when the light comes on. You look like Dracula or some shit. You know what I'm saying? Like,
so I could go to bed with a man I meet from the club, and the next morning he could not have no hairline at all. That's what she's saying.
Pretty much.
It could be on the pillow. Don't have white pillowcases. Mm-hmm. It might just be.
He'll probably wake up before you though, because most of the dudes that do that are SEPTA bus drivers. So he'd probably be out at like 6 in the morning.
and ask, you know, they get up in the middle of the night to do touch up. Like, as you see, yeah. They get up, you know, they feel inside, you know, and get back in the bed.
Like a Sharpie? What are you touching that up with?
Hey, but some of them, you know, some people have lines, you know, they don't call them Sharpies because they're named by the product, you know what I'm saying?
The makeup game
is getting serious.
Okay.
All right, let's
stop it. White Walker perpetuated offenses are considered especially heinous. In Westeros, 4 dedicated friends investigate and discuss these vicious episodes as members of an elite squad known as A Podcast Has No Name.
All right, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We are here tonight with A Podcast Has No Name, and we have a very special guest with us here today. Because today we talking about the A, the T, the L, Atlanta, Donald Glover's master opus. You feel me? So we're going to talk about the first half of Atlanta. And first we're going to introduce ourselves, and then we'll introduce our special guest. So
I'm Afro.
I'm Castro. And our special guest tonight is, introduce yourself, young man.
Hey, guys. I'm Reef.
Reap the lost cause.
I feel like we need to put some applause in there.
Woo.
Yeah, woo. All right.
Oh, I can't even do. I'm trying to do the Cardi B. Oh, this is a podcast. Has no. This is a podcast. Has no. And we are here today with our illustrious guest, Reap the Lost Cause. We talking Atlanta. All right. Now, I just want, you know, I always want to reiterate, this is a masterful show. I just want to say a quick line that what I love about Atlanta so much is it's a show for its audience, and it's not dumbed down at all. It gives us a lot of credit for being an intelligent audience. It's not walking us baby steps to these things. And I appreciate that so much that I'm willing to go head over heels to meet it halfway. You know, you ain't got to lay out things. I don't need a voiceover of Morgan Freeman telling me what that sign in the water means. No, just give it to us raw. We can handle it. You know, and I think he's really doing a great job with this second season. All right, we're going to do a quick summary of each major character. But first, I just want to go over the episodes we're going to be covering. We're going to do it all in one, you know, like one big omelet type thing. So we're going to be covering Alligator Man. Sorry.
Florida Man.
Don't mind me laughing. Alligator Man. We back in the city, but things feel a little different. It must be Robin season. Free Paper Boy. Then we're going to also be talking about Sporting Wave, where trapping ain't easy, you dig? Shout out to all my credit card scammers in the club tonight. Moneybag Shorty. That's where Earn and Van try to spend money they have to varying degrees of success. Then we also got the episode Helen, which is some German shit. And we got Barbershop. Barbershop, which is one of the ultimate. Well, it's not relatable to me. I haven't been in a barbershop in years, so I definitely had to reach out to a lot of my friends to help me out with that episode. And we'll also be talking about the wonderful classic episode, Teddy Perkins, which is bound to win awards, and y'all all know why.
Yeah.
So let's just do a little overview of each major character. We'll go one by one. We'll go around the room. And, you know, you can talk about them in that arc of these first 6 episodes, if you will. So, Ab, you want to take Earn?
Yeah. What the fuck
it's
am I going to say about Earn? So, you know, there are some things to appreciate about him. And I really don't want to look at Earn as like a bum-ass nigga, but... You know, he has some of the makings of a bum ass nigga.
Yeah.
You know, like
the architecture. Yeah.
He has the architecture. It's there. You know, he's been in this like on again, off again, long term relationship with the woman who is his mother's child's mother. He can't seem to get that right, but also isn't getting it all the way wrong. You know what I'm saying? He is, like, somewhat trying to financially contribute to her situation, but, you know, then you see when he does come up on some money, he also just doesn't take care of that the right way. He's trying to manage Paperboy, which I feel like is where he's giving most of his energy to, but still, like, even as Paperboy's career grows, Earn is not getting better at that shit. You know what I'm saying?
Thank you.
Like,
not in the slightest. Thank you.
Yeah.
Right.
What else is there? Like, where the fuck is he living? We ended off the last season with him sleeping in the fucking storage unit, you know, which was, like, you kind of felt good for him that he had gotten, like, something of his own, but you were also still like, nah, my nigga, like, you could just be in a halfway house or, like, you know.
Yeah, I've
like,
done
Tracy,
that story.
Can I just say that I love that they haven't really explained that this season, like, at all, where he lives? Like, they haven't touched on it once?
Right.
There's a lot of side things implied with Earn. Because, ultimately, and Av, we talked about this before, the key thing that's missing, what happened to him at school? Like, nobody
Did he leave school because his child was born? Like,
it seems like that's
the
mystery.
And when we started out
back.
The show, he was working at the airport. So,
yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Also,
yeah. So it was like, he's thrown at us, but we're still missing some key components as to what's going on here. And
exactly.
I've done that storage room shuffle, and that ain't sweet. So,
right.
I mean, yes, I'm with you, Ab. I want to kind of root for him, but he is a bum ass nigga. He has
he
all
is,
the architecture.
Definitely.
He's fitting, he's checking all the boxes. He's a bum ass nigga. You know,
yeah.
You're playing his game with Van. Lottie is real. She's getting older. That's not a fake, you know what I'm saying? You know, he's also tippy-toeing with the management. And Reef, that's why I'm glad you're on the call with me. We both independent rappers. This management shit, that's why this season is resonating with me, dog. Like, for real.
Yeah,
I know this. Like, it's like the back of my hand. I'm like, God damn.
In and
I'm
out,
there. So,
very
so,
on point.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Super on point. Like, I was like, wow. Hold on. Ambush is actually checking in on it. Everything and okay. Af, he texted me, everything okay. I'm not going to answer him. We're going to keep it rocking. I'm not answering him. Still here in the recording. Shout out to
Ann Morgs. Our lovely co-host family who's usually here but unable to be here this week. So, yeah.
Yeah, but
so,
we're holding it down.
Earn, I mean, you know, he's the type of dude that you meet out somewhere as a woman and he has, like, a certain – like, mystery and, like, weird charm to him. And, like, you know, you kind of having, like, a little convo and, like, trying to figure out what's up. And you might exchange info with him. And then as he starts unfolding his story more, you're like, I don't know about this nigga. I'm not quite sure. You know, you ask real basic questions like, where you live? What part of the city you stay in? You know? And you can't really get, like, you know, a solid answer.
Oh, you know,
and
I'm flipping
so,
houses right now. You know what I'm saying? So I'm in a
exactly,
transition.
Exactly. Or sometimes I stay with my aunt. You know, like that type
you know
of
what I'm
shit.
Saying?
Like,
I'm helping out the family. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
It's molding my place. I'm getting new cabinets. So, you know, I'm staying in my man's
house.
Yes.
For my daughter, I be, you know, doing what I can for her. You know, it's that type of shit. And then you have it's a moment where you have to really think about where you want to go with this dude. And if his charm is on point enough, you could end up wrapped up with this dumbass nigga for a couple years, or you could just slide right out right there because, you know, he ain't really got too much going on. So.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think, from my perspective, and you know, I just feel like that's the whole point of his character is to love him 1 minute and hate him the next. That's the most, like, beautiful anti-hero that you can come up with because, you know, I mean, real talk, I know Earns. I know plenty of Earns, just really smart dudes. They coast, man. They do just enough to get by. You know what I mean? And that's all they want out of life is to just get by. And some people, that's their whole shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, but again, you know, we're trying to get over that hump. And, I mean, it comes up, you know, it actually comes up in an episode that's passed where we're talking about. So we'll get into that in the next episode. But, you know, it comes up. And it'll be addressed. So let's slide on to our man Albert Paperboy. Reef, you want to take that?
Oh man, yeah, sure. Paperboy is so the rapper, the rap guy. Paperboy,
you know what I'm saying?
To me is he's like a wounded bear, man. You know what I mean? Like he wears that burden and that pain of just being like, you know, he's a street dude, but he has some talent, but he doesn't really know if this is something that he really wants to do. Obviously, in a later episode, that also gets addressed, where it's kind of like he's kind of put to the fire of which way are you going to go with your life. I feel like he is depressed from the death of his mother, something he never really got over. And, you know what I'm saying? That's something that he has carried with him. And I also feel like, you know, as much as Earn may not be the best manager in the world, I feel like he has not done – he's taking whatever comes his way as opposed to going out there and trying to get it.
Right.
So
instead of being proactive.
Exactly. But I also understand the perspective of being an artist and just wanting to do your thing but not really wanting to be a part of this business, because as we've seen in this season, more so than the season before, we're starting to see him go in those circles and have to do the shuffle and the dance, and he's just not for it, you know what I mean? But he has to make that decision on if that's the way that he's going to go, then he has to go all out and give his all. But right now he's at a crossroads trying to figure out if he's going to do this street shit or if he's going to do this rap shit. And I love the fact that they're making him choose that, because we have so many rappers today that there's this idea that they're still in the street, and they are not. They had to give that up. They really wanted to, you know what I mean? That they really wanted to do this. You know what I mean?
It's the same dilemma I had when I bumped into thugs in college. You're an academic.
Right.
You have class at 8:30.
Yo, bro, like, chill.
You're not hitting the corners. You're going to sleep at a decent time. Stop it.
Right, yeah, for sure. Yeah. For sure. So I love his character, and I, like I said before, the thing that resonates to me with more so than anything with him is just how he wears that, like, you know, to be black in America, man, and especially in it, you know, in the trap, you know what I mean, trying to make it every day. Mm-hmm. You know, we have this image of that being some glamorous life, and he wears that depression and burden like a silk do-rag, my man. You know what I'm saying? Like, he wears it on his face. So that's why I love him.
He also has a certain amount of loyalty that he carries around with him, too, which is almost to a fault. So when you talk about how he was trying to, like, you know, he has also made a decision to not go out and get it as much as he could. But I think it's because of his loyalty to Earn.
His loyalty to Earn.
Which there's also beauty in, you know.
Right,
so
I appreciate
that about him as well.
For sure.
The actor, I think it's not James, but I know it's Tyree Henry. His facial acting this season, to me, has been some of the most incredible stuff I've seen. He's been able to sell scenes and emotions just with a tick, and I think he's going to be known for that, and he definitely should win an award. And it's two things.
If there's an ensemble award, I don't know if there is, but they all deserve it. Everybody just kicked ass this season. They bought their A-game, all of them. All of them.
Well, there's also something else going on with Paperboy. It is addressing a little later episodes than the one we're discussing, but y'all all can feel this. That burden of now you're the breadwinner. So you feel like time is against you because this is my time to make this money that everybody's relying on me to make. And I think that's part of some of that thing that he's wearing. He's not sure how he wants to look while he's doing that. Because I think he's made a decision to do that. You know, he's definitely a little more active this season. But he's his own worst enemy sometimes. He doesn't want to perform in certain scenarios. He doesn't like to, you know, he's not Clark County. He's definitely not.
Right.
He's not our man Clark County. So there's that. Okay. Well, the next cat we got is Darius. I'll take a tackle on that. Darius is involved in one of the greatest episodes ever on television ever. but what I also would like to point out about Darius is we still don't know the onus of this vital character. He's not comic relief. That's what I loved about season one into season two. He's not comic relief. He's very much an intelligent staple. But we don't know much about Darius. We don't know his family.
Right.
He doesn't leave the house. He doesn't go anywhere. We don't know him romantically. You know, he doesn't have a woman or anything like that. But it's such a reservoir of spontaneity and good energy, too. You know, so I love Darius. I love him to death. I think he's a great character. But there's always that thing with me with Darius, like, well, who is this kid? You know what I mean? But I'm so drawn to him just as a character, but I would definitely love to get more of him. But again, he's in the greatest episode on television to ever air. And we'll get to that.
Can I ask you, do you think that they'll ever really reveal more? Or do you think the mystery is part of the attraction with him?
I think the mystery is part of Darius. You know what I'm saying? He's definitely a wandering spirit, but he finds the right track to go. You know what I'm saying? Like, the fact that they paid off the dog thing in this episode, That's the attention to detail. The fact he pulled out the money and gave it to Earn, and, you know, him and Van Gogh on their little adventure with it. I thought that was great because it's like, no, not that, excuse me, he goes with Tracy on that adventure. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the other, but But yeah, I don't think they're gonna really give us a lot of Darius. It would be a nice episode. He did get his bottle episode, like I said, but I don't think they're gonna give us. I think they're gonna stick with the mystery. He seems like a
for sure.
like a Zen prophet. Like if we found out where it really came from, maybe it would be like the mountains of Tibet. Or something. Like really, he was there, and then he wandered into Atlanta, and he became friends with Al. You know what I'm saying?
That'd be fucking awesome.
I don't
want to
be. App, you want to take? You want to take Van?
I guess we can all talk about Van.
Yeah.
I don't know. I got a lot of questions about Van. I wonder if her. I mean, I guess I kind of get the idea that her and Ern are like on some high school sweetheart shit, or maybe met the summer before college type shit. You know. At times, she does seem to be, like, very head on her shoulders, but at other times, she also, like, really questions herself. She doesn't have a lot of the confidence that I wish that she had. And then that whole Drake episode, I mean, I don't even think that's what we talk about. But, like, it was crazy.
Yeah, we don't get to, but you can mention it. Yeah, you can mention it.
You know, like, man, what the fuck are you doing? Like, this is the type of bitch you are? You would be hanging out in Drake's so-called bedroom trying on clothes? Like, is that what we're doing right now? You know, like.
Yeah, not a fan of that episode at all.
Yeah,
you
know, like.
That was low-hanging fruit. It was definitely low-hanging fruit that was going on that episode.
So I'm not that type of person. So I really felt like I lost a whole lot with her. There was the German episode where, you know, so it was nice to, like, get these sort of, like, deeper moments into her life and space. But I've never known, like, a mixed or a biracial person who was, like, that deep into, like, the white part of their heritage with it being German. You know what I mean? Like, it's fucking schmocking day, and we about to go, like, we do this every year. Like, we got the game popping. Like, you know, she got mad at Earn when he, like, won the game. You know what I mean? Like, unwillingness to share being the only black person in the room, that whole type of, like, oh, no, you can't get that hype. I'm used to that hype. So it's a couple things about her that are really, to me, just, like, really questionable that I've learned about this season. So
let me interject here, because I can relate to her being the only black person in the room. I went to school mainly with all white classmates. I was the black kid in the class.
I think we all have moments we can relate to with being the only black person, for sure. But
for sure.
The unwillingness to share that, you know?
Yes,
like,
but that's what
that
I can relate
I'm the
to
only black person in the room, that part to
now,
me
I can
is,
relate
like,
to that.
Really?
I used to become immediate rivals when a new black kid would come into the class, especially with another guy.
Castro.
And I'm serious. And I would, and then, hey, and the girls would start paying attention. Hey, who are you? Your hair is spongier than his. And I was
man.
Yo, this is going down. Oh, this is going down. And I was saying,
but
like,
it is a little different, too, though, when you are responsible for bringing that other black person into the room. Like, Earn would not have fucking been there without her, right? So
indeed,
you can't really
Earn
have to whole...
play his role. I think that, but my thing was, I didn't like that he didn't want to meet her halfway.
Be quiet, nigga. That was his role?
No, just like, you're going to go to her event once in a while, and she's going to go to yours. I thought he was being a big dick when it came to that. I thought he was being a dick.
Oh, no, he was. I'm speaking specifically around that whole game piece. Remember, he won, like, he threw some
shit. Yeah, and he said, I just went over there and placed it down, and they were like, oh!
Exactly. And she was legit mad.
She was
like.
Talking. Yeah,
what the fuck are you doing? You just won the game. I always win this game. Like, this my shit, you know?
Right.
So it wasn't even about you because he was participating. He was being a part of, like, what was going on. He was acting the role.
She did so little, like, time where she's supposed to be, like, the main focus that I think that she felt some type of way that she was. You know what I mean? Like, this is my, like you said, this is my thing. You're just supposed to be here, like, supporting me. Like, but I'm supposed to be the star. You're not supposed to take my life, you know what I mean? That's how she came off.
Yeah.
Again, I agree also that he was being totally, you know, out of pocket. And it made me cringe a little bit because as a man, I've definitely pulled that sometimes where I didn't want to be somewhere. And instead of just being supportive and cool, I kind of ruined the night. You know what I mean? Like, I related to that. And I'm sure, Fro, you've probably been in situations with men where they did that type of
thing. Yeah,
where
you try to expedite. You try to speed up the evening by making it fuck up. Yeah, I've done that.
Yeah. Let me tell you, I almost left my prom date, all right? I was driving. So
see.
I'm about to leave your ass to be more, nigga.
You're going to be hitchhiking on the highway, too.
Exactly.
The night started off so magically. I don't know what happened. Mm-hmm. All right, and then let's all dive in on our man, because we all know this guy. We all know him. Either he's in our family or he always pops up. Tracy. Okay?
I mean, let me start, man. Let me
yes,
go
sir.
Ahead and dive in with my man right here.
Yes, sir.
Tracy, like you said, Tracy is your family. Tracy is my cousin. I don't know if you remember my cousin Keith. I love him.
Oh, yes,
guys.
I know Keith. Yes,
you talking
yeah,
about
for
teeth?
Sure. Yeah, my yeah, yeah my teeth, yeah, teeth, our teeth. Yeah. So, you know, he did about the 10 years in the joint. You know what I mean? He came home, and you know, he's different in the way that he at least hustle and try to get his shit off. But yo, man, that jail mentality, man, it keeps you kind of trapped. Like it stunts your growth. You know what I'm saying? Depending on when you go in. You're still that age almost when you come out. You know what I'm saying? Not
yeah.
not literally,
yeah.
but mentally. You know what I'm
but
saying?
Mentally,
so for
yeah.
me, Tracy resonates in a way that I could never – I mean, it's just too much on point. You know what I mean? He's just that
wow.
that character, that, like, wild card. And I know a lot of people – he's polarizing for a lot of people, because I know some people that can't stand him. But me, I think he's a hilarious addition, man. I love that dude. I love that dude.
And I think he's genuine from where he's coming from. He's not a trouble starter.
Yeah.
That's one thing about Tracy. It seems like it is from all looks outside, from the outside looking in, but he's not. He just he's just gonna handle a situation a certain way, and that comes in a later episode as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I love him as an extra addition, a wild card. That whole mall stuff, that was crazy. Like I know Booster.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? You know, I know those movements and stuff.
Yeah, but I know Booster, but I've never known any of them to be that blatant about it. Like, he was smiling the whole time. He was just like, oh,
yeah.
No, that's conversation.
I talked to some of my homegirls that used to work in retail at the Gap and things like that. They said, yeah, that's the rule. You're not supposed to chase them. If the manager don't see it, you're just supposed to stand there. There's no button to press. You really
right.
Now, as far as him being cordial, that was hilarious. You need any help, sir? That was hilarious. You're not really supposed to do anything, yo. You know what I'm saying? And so he was just like, what caught me is Earn's willingness to spend his money on those gift cards immediately. Like, just give him, you got, didn't he get a couple of stacks? Like, why did you give him? Anyway,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, I would have left immediately. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just leave immediately.
Oh, yeah,
you go and take. You go right to your lady's house. You take care of some things. Maybe you put a down payment on an apartment. I don't know.
Right,
you know
like
what I mean?
Pay a gas bill, nigga. Like, go to the grocery store.
Ain't nobody sitting there with these gift cards and shit. Like, that's the first. Y'all, let me tell you, I got a story, y'all. So I was on my way home with my paycheck. I was cashing my checks at this point. I'm on the bus. Safest place. On my way home, woman's waiting. She ain't cooking. She never really fucking cooked, that girl at that time. But she's waiting. I got all this fresh bills in my pocket, and they playing three-card Molly in the back of the bus.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't help myself. I lost $80
mm-hmm.
that day. And I had to shake
mm-hmm.
the man's hand because he beat me so bad. So, you know,
mm-hmm.
you just get excited, new money, because new money seems like found money. And found
yeah.
money is free money. Oh, I can spend it like
right.
white folks. You know, I can do
yeah.
I can do things like they do. I don't have to think twice and look at my checkbook later. So I think
right.
he was definitely impulsive with that. That was hilarious. All right, we did the characters. So let's dive into some of the meat. So the backstory, because this season two is very different than season one. It's very much more linear. So
mm-hmm.
did you do you think the backstory paid off the way they were experimenting in season one to give us the plot of it in season two now?
What are we calling
anybody?
The backstory here?
To me, because season one was so random and experimental,
mm-hmm.
I think just the nature of season one, just the nature of bringing up all of these things, these and bringing these characters together and, like, making Atlanta one of the stars of the show, to me. Because I feel like it was setting
mm-hmm.
the table for season two. If anybody,
mm-hmm.
you know, disagrees, so, be, you know, y'all could interject.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what I feel like it was doing. So, was the backstory worth it? Did it lead us into this season successfully?
Yeah, I mean, me personally, I feel like, you know, season one was just basically, I read somewhere that he said it was a Trojan horse, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
that season wow. one that he
gave. Nice.
Yeah, he said that it was basically he couldn't do the show that he wanted to do without at least compromising a little bit season one. So season two was where they were like, okay, we're throwing all the rules out of the window. These stories are going to, you know, be like, honestly, like, aside from the theme of something being robbed from people,
it's not like it flows together. You know what I'm saying? These are all different experiences,
right.
different
right.
vibes, different ideas. And I mean, to me, season one was like a really funny, you know, relatable show. And then season two is just like genius, like next level David Lynch weirdo, just like out of this world type of TV. And I've been waiting for a show like this people that look like me that would have these type of experiences and have these type of adventures. You know, it's like an adventure every week. It's like you start off in a barbershop and next thing you know you're across town like stealing lumber from a house.
Stealing lumber,
you know what I mean? Like
a half built house. Yes.
Like that to me is like it's an like every episode has been like an adventure. Everyone goes somewhere and it's all types of hell breaks loose and it's just I love it. I personally think season two blows season one out of the water.
Afro, anything to add?
It's a little challenging to me. You know, like I'm really into dramas. I'm very into like you know, like sort of linear storytelling. And so for me, it's very like I have these super cringy moments all season, you know. And so it's not that I dislike it; it just takes some getting used to for me. Kind of like Infinity Wars, like all right, the superheroes don't win, so you know, where do I go from here?
Atlanta, Infinity Wars. Yes, that's
exactly.
That's the title of this episode, Atlanta Infinity War. Ambush, you better be looking. Put it down.
So, yeah, it's kind of challenging for me, but I do appreciate it. I appreciate, you know, a lot about it. I just find myself being like, what the fuck, at the end of a bunch of episodes, and I feel like it gets very intellectual. Like, it's one of those shows you have to go back and you talk to people, and you'd be like, oh, well, that represented Michael Jackson, and that represented, you know, the Dark Horse, and the cocaine. You know, right. like, it was that kind of, it's like, very heady, intellectual kind of shit that, like, you're not necessarily dissecting as you're watching it. You're kind of like, you take a blunt, and you talk about it with a couple folks afterwards, and, you know, you have some moments, so... I think the backstory is paying off. You know, like if we think about last season as like kind of setting us up for getting to know these characters and knowing their stories and how they relate with one another. We saw a lot of episodes about them interacting together, and these episodes this season are really more like one-off. Like this is about Van, and this is about you know. So I think the backstory has paid off, you know, whereas they were able to now give you a whole episode about Paperboy. And while you are kind of like, all right, well, when is Earn coming in or when is Van coming in, you were still able to stick through that episode and, like, you know. And I don't think
It was important world building. Yeah, it was important world building to be able to pull those off, too. So now we're – I mean, the character building is amazing. Like I said in the intro of this section, I thought season one was a lot of, you know, idea building. Season two was more world building. Season one was getting us used to the medium, how they're going to deliver this appetite, you know, this meal to us, you know, the way it's going to look, the way it's going to feel, the way it's going to sound. And season two, to me, is like the entree. I can agree with you, Reef. It does blow it out the water because this is—it's so rich, and again, it's made for us. And whoever wants to take that sentence and run with it, they can. It's made for us, period. And I don't care how anybody feels about that. And it's important that it's made for us, and that we deserve it. And so I think the progression from season one to season two. Now, when they complete season two, because season two is excellent. Like the second half of season two is great. Now I think the sky's the limit. They can go anywhere they want with the show. And I think that was really important. And they'll be able to write their own check.
Yes, and that's the thing that you can't – where like how many shows can say that they can go wherever they want. You know what I mean? Like I like the fact that when I tune in every week, I know I'm not going to get, you know, the same format, same formula. Yeah, it's going to be something different and unique. And, I mean, I think they knocked it out of the park. I mean, there's definitely one or two episodes that I'm not that – crazy about, but I feel like that's the same for season one too. I think like most of the most of them were pretty excellent, and there's like one or two. But I mean, that's still a you know 80% average. So I could take that, you know.
No doubt. To the bank.
So let me ask you guys this. You know, this. I mean, I guess this is somewhere between the backstory and the theme. This season, a lot of people have described as dark. Do you feel that that's part of, like, have you guys noticed the darkness that wasn't there in season one? And do you feel like that's part of any of the theme or the backstory?
Let me take that real quick. I definitely agree.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Remember, y'all, that the season started with that robbery that kind of was out of nowhere with the automatic weapon at the fast food place? And while we were bracing for the comedy that we became so accustomed to with season one, there was a tinge of reality there. Those weren't rubber bullets. And I kind of knew that this was a more serious ordeal. And we're also watching people grow up. So it can get more serious. Like, you know, I always talk about that transition from your 20s to your 30s. When you're 30, it's not funny to let your electricity bill. It's not funny for your gas to be turned off and you're just being innovative over the winter. That's not funny in your 30s. You know what I'm saying? In your 20s, you're just going with frat life, whatever the fuck. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And your 30s is different. So we're watching them, Al embrace this stardom that's burgeoning, and they have things to accomplish, but it's not easy and it's not carefree. And there's definitely some serious repercussions to it.
How old do we think they are?
They're supposed to be, I believe, in the early 30s, right?
I would say that. I would say, is anybody come off as late 20s to y'all? Or I feel like they're all 30 or something. No, wait. Earned just came out of college. So let's say mid-20s and up. Does that sound about right? If Earned dropped out of school after a year or two, then let's say he was 20. Because he doesn't come off as he's 20, 21. That's not what it looks like.
Right. But they also have a certain maturity to them, even in their immaturity. I don't know.
Yeah.
So when you were saying
early 30s, I was like,
I could do that. But I could say, you know, late 22 when we look at, like, a timeline of college and shit like that. I don't know how long ago he left school.
Right. So I would say, let's say mid-20s to early 30s. That's a good.
Yeah.
That's
okay.
But to your point, I definitely agree and feel that it's much, much darker. It's a much heavier season than the first one. And I think that's intentional. You know what I mean? I think that they wanted to present a more serious, you know, like we all know season one was like, you know, it had moments of seriousness, but it was also very hilarious. Like I've laughed here and there, but I haven't laughed that much this season. You know what I mean? I've been a lot more like, damn, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it's heavy. Definitely. It's heavy. And the switch up, nobody really saw that coming. You know what I mean? But like you said,
at all.
it started off with, you know, the robbery, and it's like, you know, every episode kind of started off with something fucked up happening. So it's like, you know,
I think the most polarizing episode, with your point in mind, Reef, is the Teddy Perkins episode. I remember some people's initial reactions were just talking about, I was cracking up. And I remember distinctly being like, that episode wasn't funny to me at all. And
I was terrified. I was terrified.
When I went to work, one of my main coworkers, who always, I always go into her office, she's one of the managers there. Shout out to her. I ain't going to say her name, but shout out. And we always talk about it, and her first reaction was, oh, that was so funny, and those parts. And there was humor in it, but I remember not laughing or just sitting here stuck. I was in my house by myself in the dark. I don't even think my cats was watching. They left me. Those moments are more prevalent this season than last, and purposely so.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to
the theme.
Theme. The big theme is Robin season, of course. And, you know, the show does a great job of varying what they declare as being robbed, because it's not always material. It can be robbed of a moment, like we said with Van and her stardom at the German festival.
Right.
It was immediately subverted by, you know what I'm saying, by Ernst's appearance.
Slash Fluken Day.
Took that away. So, yeah, Fluken Day. you know, or later on.
Time, like the barbershop episode.
Yes. Oh, God. Mm-hmm. Yes. God, yes. Like. The fact that the episode, they're not even in the barbershop. And I swore that, you know, I remember the preview. I thought, oh, word, this is going to, you know, this is the black experience in a barbershop, trading bars and dozens and talking sports. And they were on the move 2 minutes in.
Right.
So
the older
yeah,
the black
great.
Experience of the barbershop.
Oh my God, man. I went to see my barber like a week after that, and I was just like, Do you see this? This is what you put people through. I've never actually gone on an adventure with him, but he will literally stop in the middle, cut my hair, and go smoke a cigarette and argue on the phone, or like go get a sandwich. Like, oh my God, dog.
Yeah.
Seriously.
The only, and like I said, I haven't been in a barbershop in years, obviously. I'm doing my fancy thing. But the only thing I can relate is I was waiting on my weed dealer one time, and as we all know, the translation.
Oh, man, that's
the
whole thing.
10 minutes. Oh, I'll be there in 10 minutes means about maybe give them 3 hours, 4 hours. And the one unique time was he said he was
if they come at all.
Right. He was on his way to me, and he stopped at the corner store that makes his sandwiches, and he noticed it was kind of locked. He saw the owner zoom back. He had fired everybody that night. He was making deliveries and cooking food. So my man went in there and helped him cook burgers and hoagies and cheese sticks. And that's why he didn't bring me my pack, my loud pack. Yes, that really happened. Write it down.
Wow.
So, you know.
That's incredible.
I mean, I've had an undercut for almost 10 years now. I just started growing my hair back this past year, this year. So I've, unfortunately, you know, women are not, or I shouldn't say women, I should say hairdressers, or, you know, you go get your whole hair washed and all of that. They're not the best at, like, you know, shaping up and, you know, maintaining that undercut piece for you. So I spent a lot of time in barbershops over the last 10 years with this haircut. And let me just say, it is a lot of work. You know, like, you really, I don't think we give men enough credit in the barbershop for, like, the amount of time you have to really carve out, even if you have an appointment. You know, women,
right,
we just go into the hairdresser and we're like, oh, word, like, yeah, I'll probably be there most of the day or half of the day or, you know, whatever. And for men, it is very much the same. Barbershops are very much the same. Like, don't really try and walk in without an appointment. That is, like, a whole other thing. But even if you have an appointment, it virtually means nothing. You know what I mean? This man is probably
and
not
and
running
if you walk in without a, if you're walking without an appointment, you're going to catch the Bobo barber, the young guy that cuts in the back. That's always a danger.
Well, nobody does that. I mean, I would still wait
on
my
barber. Oh, no, you can't ever
become
go to
the Bobo. Oh, I'm telling y'all, it's been years. I really have. I only go in and get my beard touched up. It's really been years. I was a kid with the yellow
pages. No, I would walk in without an appointment and be like, yo, when do you have time for me today? Because I ain't seeing none of these other niggas. All I know about is you. So, you know, I could probably take you at the top of the next hour, you know, all of that. So, yeah, I'm with you, Reef. I've never gone on adventures, but being there in and of itself is an adventure. Don't let a game be on. Don't let, you got a whole crew of people that's just hanging out there just for the fuck of it. Like, they didn't got their haircut already. It's not even their week. You know, like, they just came there to chill.
What about a walk by and the evening at the barbershop? And to tell y'all the truth, because I'm so out of touch, at the end of the after school barbershop episode, I had to wait for some of my other friends watching and call them, because I couldn't relate to the very end. When he went through
that
adventure,
and
it was very disappointing. And he sat there and he didn't know what to tell the barber, because he never had to tell the barber, because that was his usual.
Right.
And I didn't know what that was.
He was salty as hell. I forgot about that.
Even before that was a dope moment too, because just walking past that other barber nigga, like, yeah, I ain't got to deal with you no more. Like, that's a really good feeling. Like, you know what? You fucked me over last time, last few years. I've been hanging in. You ain't think I was gonna leave you, nigga? Did you? You didn't think I was gonna leave you? You know? So yeah, that was great. But then you sit down and I was like,
you started giving them up. Yeah, he started giving an "I miss you" eyes. Like, damn, we could have had it all.
Especially when homeboy asked him a 1, 2, or 3, he's like,
I don't know.
Wait, we're dismissing it. What's the man's name? What's our man's name? What's his name? Or what's the barber's name? Bibby.
Bibby.
Dibby.
Yeah,
Dottie, Bibby.
Bibby.
It was something like
Bibby. Bibby.
Yeah,
it was
Bibby.
Like
Bibby. Bibby. Yeah. Bibby. Damn it, Bibby. Bibby, Alligator Man. Don't let's not gloss over my man, the Alligator Man, which was, there was some poignant moment. And again, the Alligator Man was played for laughs, but there was that serious moment between him and Earn about don't be me. And I thought that was like, whoa. You know what I mean? I've had that moment with my own father, and I'm like, whoa. You know what I'm saying? So, like, the line that the show is straddling this year is delicate, but it's I'm not just throwing it out there, Af. It's genius like. Afro has a problem with it.
Just like that word.
I feel like in 2018, people are really abusing the word genius. You know, like Kanye and his whole ownership of it, which I was okay with. But now I just feel like we all throwing it around real willy nilly, and shit don't necessarily be genius. It'd be highly creative. It'd be dope.
Right.
You know, but. Right. You know, we're talking genius.
Well, I feel like, I mean, if we look around, we can kind of see, like, the dumbing down of this great nation. And I feel like most of the people's vocabularies, they don't really have any other words. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's like,
right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. They don't know how to say that it was highly creative or articulate or, you know what I'm saying? It's magnificent. Like, any other word,
right.
There's a ton of them. But
right.
We go right for genius.
A lot of thought,
you know?
And emotion for me, right?
Yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm.
That's a direct correlation to the rap, because when Special Ed was doing his thing, I knew what magnificent was, even when I didn't know how to spell it. But anyway,
right,
oh, absolutely.
Let's keep it rocking.
That's a whole nother podcast for a whole nother day.
Right. But it's true, ain't that true, yo? I'm the magnificent. Making up words, solid, no profile. I want to talk about the other overt theme that I wanted to pull out, and again, Reef. So I'm glad we on this call, because me and you could chop this up. And Av, too, because as we remember, Av had her moment of emceeing and shine.
Reese, I don't know if you know this, but I had a moment of emceeing, and Castro ruined my career. He told me opened my eyes too big when I rapped.
Were you giving them the freak out eyes?
No, listen in.
I mean, Nicki Minaj made her career off those eyes, okay?
Yeah,
so,
that's true.
This origin story, she has laid waste to this origin story, ripped it apart year after year after year. She has damaged it. She tells it horribly. So I would like to retell the story. Afro was a young, burgeoning MC, and I found it upon myself to take out my time. I was managing a whole bunch of artists at the time. I don't know if y'all remember Squadzilla. I was getting started with that type of thing. And
unsolicited feedback.
I said, yes, it was. It was very unsolicited feedback. And I was very full of myself at that point. And I thought I was meeting Lambs for the
awards. I had just performed. I felt so good about myself. It was courageous. Mm. Probably my second, third time on stage.
And here comes Cash. He's got like a cigar in his Cash walks over with a cigar in his hand. He's got like a blazer on. He's like, come here, kid. Let me tell you something, kid.
Friends.
You're going to be a big star
like
one day.
Wait,
you acting like Red from Five Heartbeats?
Yes.
Oh, no.
I was a maniac. Or more like Brent Beige, because I was bohemian. I was acting like Beige from the Five Heartbeats, because it was real bohemian back
then.
And she came up with this banging rap name. We won't say it on air, because we have a disagreement about who came up with it. I did. But she thinks she did, but I did.
All right.
I gave you the name in true hip-hop tradition. One of the few MCs, Reese, that I might add, can say that she got a proper name, not just came
Reese,
up with it.
Reese, that's how it should start. I made you. I named you.
Yep,
I made you.
Yep,
I
never,
my
forget.
Son.
Never forget.
You know?
Never forget.
Look, I'll never let him forget. Never let him
forget.
Never forget.
But what episode are you talking about?
Which one?
You said me and you could relate. You said just before we started, you said me and you could chop up about
this
one.
So the other theme that I wanted to talk about, the fifth element of hip hop, management, good, bad, or ugly.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
Trying to employ your friends and giving them a shot. Because, shit, I don't know what managing is. Maybe you can take the time to figure it out. I got to write these raps. You know?
My experience, I'll say this always, my experience with management is why I haven't had one in years, because it's much easier. I mean, not easier, but it's a much less of a headache, where it's like, if you fail, then you fail on your own. You know what I'm saying? You don't put your hands of responsibility to somebody else. But my experience with management was either they didn't try hard enough, they didn't know what they were doing, or they thought that they were the artist. You know what I'm trying to say? Like, they didn't know how to play the background or, like, play their part. It was like they wanted to be all up in the mix, all up in the videos. You know what I'm saying? Like, so that's where
So I've yet to find that balance with management. I think that that's a very key element to a lot of people's success and also careers, to having someone. Not everybody is able to get by without one. I think if you have a really good manager, man, you're winning. You know what I'm saying? Because they can really open the doors for you and take care of all the red tape. And I think Earn means well, but I see with Paperboy starting to go towards, you know, Clark County's guy because he sees the moves that are being made. And at some point, you got to say business or personal. You know what I mean? You got to be able to say, hey, look, man, I love you. You can do something else. You can, you know, help me do this and that, but you can't be the main guy because I'm not eating. I'm not moving fast enough. And sometimes people don't do that quick enough. You know what I mean? And I think we're seeing, wink, wink, Paperboy moving towards, you know, making that type of decision in this season. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, a great manager is always an asset. You know what I mean? Because they can definitely, you know, do the things that you necessarily can't do because you're great. You know, and that's it should be that pure. And but the fact that you're trying to, like I said, employ friends and family, you want to give people a shot. You want to have. So you're looking for people to trust. So you immediately trust your friends and your family. So you hopefully you can employ them. But a lot of times in life, you get what you pay for. So maybe I need to hire somebody that knows what they're doing. So we're not just chasing the tail. There was so much chasing the tail in my rap career. Like, you know, oh, we're going to do this, and that'll get us to this, and maybe we get to that. It's like lily pad leaping. I'm making a lot of animal lessons. You know, you just reach in and things, and some things lead to other. And some people have found that magic domino. You know what I'm saying? Reach that one domino that flips into that, and you get this opportunity, and it rolls into itself. That's great. But there's a time when you have to be honest. And like we say in future episodes, he comes to that tipping point, as with any relationship. Right. Male, female, you know what I'm saying? You come to a tipping point, either shit or get up the pot. And he's going to continue on. And I mean, and Af, you mentioned it earlier, the loyalty that Al employs. And we, again, later on in the episode, not to speak ahead, Afro, but in later episodes, there's references to where this loyalty begins, how it grew, and how it's not going to be a detriment anymore. Like, our Paperboy is going to do his thing. You know what I'm saying? Despite that. So, you know, the fifth element of hip-hop management, man. I mean, so we let
But
people,
the other
we
thing I wanted to say about
things.
Management real quick was that, you know, it's one thing to, like, not be such a great manager or to not come through with these things, but Earn also just doesn't employ the best decision-making, you know? So I think that brings another level to it, you know, like, oh, we're going to spend a night at this girl's house from Instagram. Like, the fuck is that?
Right.
You know, like,
right.
You know, or like, we're going to this one city, we got a show, we're not going to make that much money, but maybe you could book us a couple other shows while we're out there. Like, that type of shit.
Right.
I think Earn just doesn't get it. He's just trying to hold on to, like, the little bit that he has. And the other thing I think they do a really good job of is that fucking local buzz. You know, you have a local buzz, you're doing your thing locally, and people create this other picture of what you are. And so we keep seeing all these people run into Al, and they're like,
and they
oh,
want to
you
take a
paper
picture.
Boy. Exactly.
Wait,
yeah,
what about
can
that?
I get
what about
a photo?
The,
can I get a this?
I
can I get
some
a
extra
that?
Fries in there. I put some extra fries in there.
I threw some extra fries in there for you. All these things. Damn, what's wrong with your hair?
Take
why you
out.
Got a haircut? Like, you know,
yes.
All these expectations based on hearing his music on the radio. But in reality, he's still scrapping and struggling, and Earn is not taking advantage of that buzz at all whatsoever.
Yeah, one of the funniest scenes ever to me was when season one, where they were at the club, he had the club appearance, and they put the light on him, and nobody clapped, and he just held his head in shame. They were like, we got Paper Boy in the house. And it was like, you heard like one faint clap in the background, and he's just like,
Don't want to be that guy, yo. I'd rather you just don't introduce me, man. Let me just nod in the darkness. Like, don't.
For sure.
Spotlight
for sure.
me, yo. Don't spotlight me. That reminds me of some story I have of a strip club going there with my white friend, and they put the flashlight on him and said, white guy, pussy white guy. Anyway, moving on. Sorry, ass. Okay. So let's jump to major plots and subplots through this season. Was anybody able to pick up a through line of what they're trying to what they're trying to express this season, even if it's just narratively, not even like subconsciously. Did anybody pick up a
through
line?
I mean, it kind of feels like shit ain't sweet. You know what I mean? It's like
great. Another title of the episode.
I mean, that's definitely something I picked up on. I mean, and when we talk about this darkness and, like, you know, the hero's not, you know, necessarily winning or coming through to save the day and all of that kind of shit, it's just like there's a level of darkness to it, but there's a level of reality to it as well. That's just like, you know.
That's why we relate to it so well, right? That's
exactly.
why we relate to the show
exactly.
so well, because it's the show is speaking to us, and it's not by coincidence.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, whoa, you know what I'm saying? We know these people, and these people know us.
For me, aside from the obvious Robin, season Robin, every episode something gets robbed of them. The theme, I guess you could say, or the thing that I see that connects in every episode, for me, has been what we were talking about, loyalty. Van's loyalty to Earn. Paperboy's loyalty to his Barbara. Paperboy's loyalty to their, you know, crazy ass Uncle Alligator Man. These things that happen are based around people's loyalty to somebody else. Even going as far as, you know, Teddy. His loyalty to his quote-unquote brother or father. You know what I'm saying? Like, the loyalty theme keeps coming back into play pretty much every episode. Even, you know, Van going to that party with her girls because she's being loyal. You know what I mean? Like,
that's the thing
I just picked up on, you know?
That's a great pull. That was really good. I definitely echo all of those sentiments. The next section is, I'm trying to think of any other subplots. Listeners, if y'all picked out some subplots and just in the first half, you know, let us know in the comments, and we can bring that up in part two of this review. So the next section is comparison to season one, but I felt like we touched on that when we spoke about the backstory setting it up. But I wanted to morph that. Is there anything from season one that you necessarily missed that season two hasn't expressed, or are we good with where we're going?
I miss them interacting with each other more and being together more.
Ensemble,
Reef, I think you mentioned that Darius seemed like comic relief one of you guys mentioned that he seemed like comic relief in the first one, and then this season you get to see that he has, like, more intellect and stuff behind him. But I think that he was able to, you were getting that comic relief because of how they all interacted with one another, and so they're interacting with each other less, with episodes being, you know, more individualized and us following someone through a particular story. And so I miss a little bit of that. Like, I miss a couple of the eye rolls that they have each other, although they did leave some of it in. There is some small interacting in some of the episodes, but I do. I miss it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I would agree with that. I would say, like, you know, again, this season has been very heavy. My personal favorite episode this season, not to skip ahead, but was the college show trip, because it was all of them together, sans Van, but, you know, and it was a little bit less, it wasn't as heavy, you know what I'm saying? It had a lot more comedic elements to it. I mean, look, I love what they're doing with this season. I love it. Absolutely. But I also do miss a little bit more of the comedic element that was a little bit more present in the first season. And I'm sure that that's something that it still weaves its way in and out. There's still moments where you find yourself, you know, chuckling a little bit, but I can recall a little bit of season one where I was literally doubled over in laughter, and I haven't really had that much this season. It's been a different emotion, and maybe next season they'll try to provoke another type of emotion out of you. Who knows? You know what I mean?
I think that's a good prediction, Reeve. I think that's what they might do is change their emotive swing. I miss some of the satire from season one, like that episode with all of the fake commercials. I thought that was genius. And I miss some of that. But I love that they keep on evolving the new ideas. Like, to me, it might have come off corny if they did another episode just like that.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, you get what I'm saying? Like, let's keep it rolling. So, but I do miss some of the satire. I mean, shit, it's even far as Earn working at the airport, like that was hilarious. You know, we don't have
Justin Bieber.
Oh God, the black Justin. Come on,
the
yo.
Game. Yeah, I forgot about that.
That was perfect. I did. Oh wait, the invisible car. It hit the guy when they went to the club.
Oh yeah.
Oh man.
I want to posit this, y'all. That over into the season a little bit.
I want to posit. Yeah, they mentioned it. Did anybody? Mm-hmm. Y'all know that they still haven't told us what happened to the guy they shot in the first season in the first episode in the parking lot.
Nope.
Remember, they shot him point blank to his chest, and they ended up in jail for it. They still haven't. I always bring that up because that will come back. That will come back to haunt us. Podcast has no name. It's the first to let it be known. It will come back. It will come back. So, all right, let's keep it rocking. Okay, the next section is rewatchability, but I want to take this opportunity to jump right into the Teddy Perkins episode. Okay. Because that was rewatchable. Then a motherfucker. Like, I watched that 2 to 3 times. And I discovered more and more. Yeah, because I was...
I watched that shit once. I couldn't watch that motherfucker again.
Yeah, that's how I
felt. But I went into a deep rabbit hole, y'all. I watched videos about it. I wanted to know everything about that episode. It resonated to me. Darius is one of my favorite characters. So if you start me on Darius, I'm all for it. I want to go on an adventure. I want to sell the dogs. I want to get this $4,000 and buy the swords. I want to do all of that. And the fact that it seems so innocuous at first, he's going to get a piano. I didn't think none of it. The intro... to me, it's like 2 episodes. That first, when he goes to the gas station and colors in the hat.
Yeah.
It was like a whole other episode to me. He's driving you home, and he gets to the house. And Perkins is literally standing there. And how long was he waiting there? Was he waiting there all day? Was he just you know, oh, my God. And he was frightening. It was frightening from moment 1 to moment 10. I was scared to death. I didn't know what was going to happen. I imagine many things could happen. I was relieved that they didn't happen, but it made me scared because that means something worse could happen. Oh, my goodness.
So
I'm
curious,
to follow.
What you watched, like, what did you get out of your research on the episode?
Oh, it made me break down what it was because I really thought there was 2 of them. I took it as his words when I first saw it. He's the brother. Maybe the other brother's the favorite. But then you notice there's no other brother in the pictures. It's about him and his father. Fatherhood parenthood to me is another theme of this season. Like we mentioned, Al and his mother, Earn and his parents, and now Teddy and his father, who is obviously the one that he kept trapped downstairs and was doing all the weird shit with. At first, I thought there was a brother, and Benny and Teddy, and I needed to watch it again because I was caught off guard. I was knocked off balance. I was like, what did I just watch? And I'm just scared for Darius because that's the character I'm invested in. I'm not even realizing that's Donald Glover. I didn't even care. That was amazing in itself, but that wasn't the point. I'm like, I need Darius to get out of here. When he got handcuffed at the end, I was really worried. I was like, oh, my God, you let him hang. I thought he was going to wrestle it out, this little guy. When he didn't wrestle the gun, I was like, he let him handcuff him and he's sitting in his chair. What the fuck is happening? And I'm like, oh, my goodness, are they going to kill a main character? We don't know. Atlanta's
It could. Atlanta might do that.
They could do that. Lakeith Stanfield's career is taking off. Maybe he got a big. If he was in Avatar, he'd be gone for 3 years. So maybe that's what it was. I don't know. I was like, whatever. You know what I'm saying? So
speaking of which, I'm excited that Van is in Deadpool. That's dope.
Oh, big time.
That's dope. I hope it goes good for her.
Yeah,
they're all blowing up as they should, man. They're all blowing up as they should, you know?
Indeed.
Yeah.
Indeed. And well deserved. You know what I'm saying? I can't wait for Tyree Henry to get his next big role. I think he's going to.
Yeah. He just got nominated for a Tony, man.
Yeah. I can't wait. Because I think he's in for like a big role, like some generational movie. We on the incline, y'all. Moonlight.
Right.
Black Panther.
It's a great time. It's a great time.
We're not playing. The Shirley Waits and all her good stuff that she's doing. We're really and strike while the iron is hot. There's no such thing as Renaissance because we've always been here. So let's just keep doing our good work. You know what I'm saying? What stood out for you when you got a grasp of the episode? Like what was eating away at you when you watched this episode? When you got your footing? Were you immediately doing the Michael Jackson comparison? Because I don't think I was. I was so much into the fatherhood aspect of the episode. But I'll get to that. But I wanted to know y'all thoughts. So right. Yeah, what grabbed you when you got your footing when it came to Teddy Perkins?
What grabbed me immediately was obviously when he walked in the house and that ghoulish character was standing there. I, for one, was right away was like, I know who that is, but I'm not sure if I know who that is. And it, as he began to talk more and more, I was like, okay, that's Donald Glover. Once that got out of my head, because that was bothering me, like, for, like, the first 5 minutes, because I'm trying to figure out who this person is, because I can see it in their face, that I know their face, but I didn't know for sure. And then it finally hit me, like, yo, that's Donald Glover. It has to be. So once that got out of the way, I was just trying to make an understanding of, like you said, the brother aspect, because I didn't believe that there was a brother from the door. You know what I'm saying? Like, okay. I didn't believe that there was, like, there's... The way that he was talking about the experiences with his father, that was personal. You know what I mean? And then once they went to that little dad museum area, I don't really remember that much after that. I'm going to be honest with you, because my mind was blown. I was like, this is the creepiest shit I've ever seen in my fucking life. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm still going, like, I haven't watched it again, man. Like, I want to watch it again, but I'm, like, I'm not a big scary dude. Like, you know, I'm no sucker, man. Like, you know what I'm saying? But, like, I don't like watching shit that fucks with me psychologically. And then, again, like, I did a little bit of that, what you did. I watched some videos on it because there was a theory that the guy tied up in the, who the person tied up in the basement was. I'm pretty sure it was, you think it was his father, right?
Yeah, most definitely was his father. It was his father.
Okay. So, I mean, that element of it, I thought they might kill off Darius. I thought the same thing. Like, Atlanta's not above killing off a main character.
Right. Everybody doing
and,
shit.
You know, I mean, the ostrich egg. I mean, dude, like, I mean, like, there's so much going on. So much going on.
And the ostrich
egg, I forgot
so
about that fucking egg, yo. That was too much.
Yo,
that
the egg was
totally
funny to me because he did all of that with the instruments and stuff, right? But he was really eating small pieces. Like, he cracked the whole thing and it's gooey and all that stuff, but he didn't take a scoop or take a big, he just had a little piece and he was picking at it. Like, so, was that set up? Was that set up? No. What got me, y'all, was, what about the recording machine that we thought was an intercom? And he was reminding me. He had to do Dionne Warren.
Now, that was hilarious.
Like
that is one thing I think I laughed at in the moment. And you were saying some people said the episode was so funny. I didn't think much of it was funny either. But that part, I do think I laughed at right away.
Wait, like, what part was that, y'all? What part was that?
So when he said, do you want some water? And he pressed that intercom thing and he said, get Darius some water. And later on, you think that he was making an intercom to like some servant in the house. This is the very beginning. We don't know what's going on in the house. And he admits to Darius that, no, I just do that to remind me of things. And he played it back, and it says, get Darius some water. Finish Dionne Warwick's wig. And it had another thing.
God,
it definitely said, finish Dionne Warwick's wig. She
finish
was on the
Dionne Warwick's wig.
He said, finish Dionne Warwick's wig. I don't know how many years ago he left that. Whatever. That was a great moment, y'all.
Well, I think for me, my biggest moment, again, which goes back to Van in so-called Drake's house, was Darius walking through the house. That shit just makes me nervous. Like, I don't like seeing people explore in places that they don't have no fucking business being all up in. And so, for
That's
me,
not
that
a
was
black
like...
person reflex.
Exactly.
Not a black person reflex. I'm
like,
getting
in the living room, just wait,
I'm
you know.
Yeah.
And I kept feeling like, why didn't he just leave? Like, he was just so gung-ho on getting this fucking piano. It was crazy to me. He was also there by himself. I've never seen anybody go pick up a piano by themselves. Like, that's just some random-ass shit, Dolly or not. You know, like, you always have another person with you for a piano.
You always got another dude with you, yeah.
For a piano? Jesus, like, boy.
Yeah.
So,
but again,
then this
nigga
had a whole pop-up shop in his house. Like, one of the bedrooms was a fucking merch shop. Like, what the fuck was that?
Who
Yo, I really got to watch this
stuff
again.
Yo,
oh, you don't remember
again.
That?
When you watch it again, you'll get more of the comedic hits, but also, like, the threads of the episode. This was really well thought out. Like, they really layered this thing down. And I heard that Donald Glover was in character the whole time. And the guy that played father/Benny in the wheelchair he was getting instructions from Donald Glover as Teddy, and he didn't know it him at first. He's like, all right, so when you do the scene, do the... he's talking to him, and he's like, who is this guy? Is he like a PA? Who is this guy? And he had the full makeup on and everything. So Donald Glover definitely is a slave for his art. I can't wait for the DVD, Blu-ray, to see the behind-the-scenes just for that episode. Like, this episode, right. I want to get into the nooks and crannies and the molecules because other than the spectacular peculiarness of Teddy Perkins, this episode was about Darius. So we can talk ad nauseum about what Teddy meant and what that meant. But remember, Darius, at the very end, said, I can relate to the fatherhood stuff, but I'm going to be positive about it. I'm not going to let that drag me down. So to me, all the precursor of the fatherhood stuff with Teddy and quote-unquote Benny and whoever was in the wheelchair, I think it was also supposed to resonate that Darius can relate to all of that stuff he was mentioning, but look how Darius is, you know what I'm saying, a warrior of spirit moving with energy and being positive and helping things turn out. And what is Teddy? Waiting in the dark for somebody to trick and shoot so he can kill his father in the wheelchair. Divergence, you know what I'm saying? But fatherhood, right at the center. When he was talking about the fatherhood museum, many of the fathers he was mentioning, Joe Jackson, Beyonce's pops, the Williams sisters' pops. And I didn't agree to lump them all together. I know what this episode was doing. I didn't really like that as a literary choice because I don't think all of them function the same way. The Williams sister father was like, we're getting out this fucking ghetto, and that's real, and we're going to use this tennis and shit. And I don't think anything was done overbearing or whatever. I watched interviews where he had to step in because these interviewers, remember this early 90s, they were being very manipulative. He's like, yo, what y'all doing? But they want to take that as the blowhard, overdoing it, father like Todd Marinovich. I'm just jumping with references, but
I hear you. I understand.
Y'all feel me? Don't loop them all together because some of them definitely, like Beyonce's pop, they had a mission, and Beyonce wanted that mission just as much as the pop. So, but anyway, I say that to say this, the fatherhood aspect of the episode was very polarizing, but I think we also got to remember that the episode was about Darius, and so we got to loop it all together. And that's what grabbed me. Is Darius resolved through all of this, even walking around in the dark. When he went to the basement, I thought something for sure was going to happen to him. This wheelchair got creeping up on him. There's cameras everywhere and shit. So, that's what stood out for me with Teddy Perkins. Just a masterful episode. I recommend all our listeners, if you've seen the Teddy Perkins episode, watch it again and then watch it again. Right. It's worth your time.
In the daytime with people around.
Right.
I already be having nightmares, man. I was watching that show like, oh, I ain't gonna sleep tonight. Teddy Perkins gonna get into my bed.
You have no idea. You have no idea. Slamming your piano. I'll never have a piano in my house because of the Teddy Perkins episode.
Yeah.
Straight up. I don't want him coming back to buy it. All right. So speaking of which, and I mentioned that I watched Teddy Perkins in Milk Time. Rewatchability. What episode, say for the Teddy Perkins, we just talked about it, of these first half, do you feel is the most rewatchable?
For me, the barbershop episode.
Yeah, yes. I think barbershop, yes. And then maybe second would be for me the when Tracy and Aaron go on their little adventure. Or is that the same episode?
The credit card. No, that's a different episode.
That's
Sport
episode.
And Wave. That's a wave cat. That's a wave cat when they get them all.
Yeah, wave cat. Yeah. Those two are for me. Those, because I just love Tracy.
Yeah, Tracy's classic. I like a barbershop. I like it, but again, it's hard for me because I don't know anything about barbershop. But I do understand going one place with a homeboy and ending up six places later.
Right, for sure.
With a house full of black men with their shirts off and a lot of white women around. And in every
what
room they're playing
fuck?
A different video game system. Yeah, that's how I ended up one day, and it was in the middle of Jersey, and it seemed like this was some house on the road.
Oh, nah,
over.
Man.
Anyway, sorry, y'all. Anyway, I've been at the end of those adventures. My bad ass. I know we have company. So so let's give a score. So the way we score, Reef, is we all get one no name, and we can give them a whole no name, a half no name, a quarter no name, whatever we want to score, and then we add it together, and that's the full score. And since it's three of us, top score being three no names, lowest score being under one no name, if that's possible. getting to the. All
right, yeah. I have to follow what y'all do because I have no idea what you just said, bro. I'm sorry.
Okay, I'm
so, it's basically absolutely. Like, you know, something can get, like an album can get 5 mics. We just call it No Names
right.
instead of mics. And then
right.
if you want to give half a mic or 3/4 of a mic, but basically you have one whole, you know.
One whole mic.
Reading.
Right. Okay, all right,
one
I got
whole,
you.
Yeah,
all right.
Whole.
Yeah.
And we call it No Names.
Okay.
We're just doing a branding thing. We're going to have T-shirts. So,
of course.
Know,
I, like it. I like it. I like it. I like it. I like it. Go ahead. Get your money. Get your money.
Black man,
get your
money. Oh, yeah. Get that money. Get that money. Get that money. Okay. What's your rating for the first half of Atlanta Season 2?
I'd say 3/4.
3/4
No
Name. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
You know, it takes me a lot to give something a whole, you know, 100%. It's got to be
like.
I do like,
know that.
So.
I have a feeling that the second half of Atlanta will round your score up to a full No Name. I'm pretty sure. But we'll save that for another pod. We'll
see.
I will give this first half of the season a full No Name. Teddy Perkins really drives it home. Alligator Man, I am, but I liked Alligator Man too. I thought because we didn't mention it fully in the review, but I thought Cat Williams gave a masterful performance. And like you're looking at somebody
that's incredible.
There's
yeah.
a comedian, so you're looking for the jokes, but it was a very serious performance. And my family's filled with women, but we do have certain males in our family, certain uncles, like pseudo uncles, you know. And I've had moments. You know what I'm saying? And that episode resonated well, so I wanted to mention that before we were all said and done. So I give it one full No Name. Reef?
Yeah, I guess to be the balance, I'll give a half a No Name. I'll give a full half
okay.
because the second half to me has been a little bit more my speed and a little bit stronger than me. But, again, you have the Barbershop, Teddy Perkins. There are episodes in there that were really, really phenomenal. And I think, I mean, you know, obviously not to jump ahead, but if we were talking in theory about what has taken place since these 6 episodes, it'd be a full No Name. But since we're only talking
no
about
doubt.
The first half, then it's a half a No Name for me for right now, where okay. the season right. is at in regards to this in particular podcast. There, I said
no
it.
Doubt. There you see, and I barely understood what you said. And now
yeah, see, you gotta do the knowledge, man. Do the knowledge, baby. You know what I'm saying? Do the knowledge. Use your third eye. Use your third eye.
Oh man, don't take me back to South Street, man. You know, rest in peace to Abyssinia and Pearl of Africa, where we had many a knowledge battle. So doing the final tally.
Yeah.
Right. So that is 2.5 No Names for the first half of the season out of 3. I think that's a great score. Leaves a little head for room for improvement.
I don't know if that's right, so, math.
It is right. 3/4 plus 1/2 is 1. Oh, excuse me. That's wrong. It's 2.25. It's 2 and 1/4. Reese, don't encourage her. Okay?
Yo, no, that was fun. No, just the way she said it was, like, so calm, though. Like, I don't think that's right.
She comes with a blade, son. Don't be hypnotized by the blade because it's pink. She comes with the blade. It's the machete. She's coming for
okay,
my
machete.
The machete.
Okay.
All right. But, Ab, you were right. It is 2 okay. and...
Those are words I rarely hear, so I'll take it. Especially from you, Castro. Af, you were right.
Yes.
Say it again.
I don't think so. I think something's wrong with the recording. Am, check that out. Check that out in the recording. Thumbs up. This thing's falling.
Yo, you can't edit that, yo. You got to leave that in there, man.
That is accurately. With the new math, as I was saying by the Queen Af, it's 2 1/4 No Name. So that leaves room for improvement. And we will be returning to finish this out. Reef, thank you so, so much for joining us.
Yo,
if you wouldn't
awesome,
mind,
man.
I would like to extend the invitation to do the second half of the season. We'll do that.
Absolutely.
In the next week or so. So
yeah.
We'll schedule it out
with
again.
The rest of the crew.
Yeah.
That'll be fun.
Yeah.
That'll be
fun. Might have to be a little later, brother. So, you know, we got to stay up. They're West Coasters. So, you know.
It's all good, man. Later's fine. Later's fine by me, man. We can do it whenever. Just hit me up.
All right. All right, everybody, I would like to say good night. Go Sixers. I did the theme song earlier, but I have to return to it and let everybody know. I'm
we
sorry.
Can hang
up, you almost made it. No, you don't have to hang up. This is a podcast. Don't catch me slipping, no. See how they tripping, no.
right, yeah, I'm out, y'all. Peace.
This is a podcast. Don't have no name, name. They be don't tripping, no. I feel killing, no.
Bye, nigga.
Later, girl.
Subscribe, please, please, please. Click and comment.